إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, today is the fourth and the last of the series on recognizing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the basira to recognize His signs. I want to say to you that the Quran doesn't say, the Quran uses this word ayah, which means signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah said, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of intelligence. The signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to are the ayat of the Quran, of course, and also the signs in its creation within ourselves and outside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this as a statement of challenge, where He said, سَنُرِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily and truly and definitely we will show them our signs in the afaq, in the universe, and within themselves. وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى until يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ. It becomes clear to them that this is the truth, that Islam is the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us His signs, not to prove that Islam is the truth, because we know that is the truth, but so that we can see them and recognize them and glorify Him. My brothers and sisters, a sign is a sign only for those who recognize it, because a sign is something which is communicating a message. When you see, to give you an example, when you see, if you're driving down the road and you come to a traffic sign, a traffic signal, just imagine for the sake of this example, that with you in the car is somebody who's never been in a city, who's never seen a traffic light, maybe somebody who lived all his life or her life in a village where none of this ever exists and they are not exposed to that. So they see this and they say to you, oh lovely, what lovely decoration in the city, you know, there's this green light and this orange light and the red light, and they keep flashing and alternating. What would you say to them? You would say to them that those are not decoration lights, those are signs. A sign is something which has a meaning, and a person who benefits from that sign is somebody who understands that meaning. If you just look at the sign, it is not enough, because you're looking at it, you're seeing it. But if you actually recognize the sign and say, aha, this red light means that I must not move anymore, I must stop my car, I must not cross the intersection, then you saved your life and you saved potentially the life of somebody else. Now, if you did not recognize that sign, you're still seeing the same sign, you're still seeing the red light. It's not that you're blind, but you don't know what it means. So you see the red light, but you do nothing, you just go through the intersection, and next thing you know, somebody comes from the other side and slams into you and you're dead. So this is the issue of signs. Why must we recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because they have meaning. They are there for a purpose. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there for a purpose. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there to tell us about the future. And that is why those who recognize those signs and who recognize their Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu in those signs, who recognize His creativity, his majesty, his glory, his magnificence, who recognize his strength and his power and his authority, they are the people who will say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. They will say, oh our Rabb, oh our creator, our sustainer, our maintainer, our owner, our provider, you have not created all of this in vain. Truly, you've created all of this for a purpose. So save us from the punishment of the fire of the day of judgment. مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. All glory and majesty to you, and save us from the hellfire. This is a sign of those who recognize their Creator. So having said that, now I spoke to you just as a brief glimpse the world and what Allah has created, just what we know of it. I mean, obviously what we don't know of it we can't even talk about, because we don't know by definition. But what we know of it alone is so vast that it's literally impossible, or literally, you know, quite literally impossible for me to cover everything. So I've just tried to give you a brief glimpse. We looked at the signs, one of the signs in the insect world. We looked at a couple of signs in the world of birds. We looked at some of the signs in the world of mammals, and I specifically mentioned the blue whale, which lives in the oceans, and something about elephants. And today I want to talk to you about the human being, about you and me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us memory, and then with that He gave us the ability to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the memory so that we remember the lesson, and He gave us the ability to forgive so that we can forgive the transgression and continue a relationship or move on to something else without carrying the burden of something that went wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us memory and gave us the ability to be thankful, so that we remember all the good that comes to us from people, and we are forever grateful to them, and we pray for them, and we try to do something for them and repay that good in whichever way it might be. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the strength and power and authority, and He gave us wealth, and He also gave us the guidance to use that strength and power and authority and wealth in order to create goodness around ourselves, in order to create beauty, in order to create, in order to help people who are in difficulties, not to use that wealth and that power in negative and destructive ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu gave us the ability to think, so that we can solve our own problems. He gave us the ability to think, He gave us creativity, He gave us the ability to invent and to use things that from the universe which He has created for us, so we can solve our problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu gave us the ability to anticipate problems and to prepare for them, so that when the problem comes, we are not caught unawares, and then we are able to solve that problem when it comes. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu created us in a situation where when we are born, we are completely and totally helpless. But Allah gave us parents who take care of us, who protect us, who lose sleep over us, who go to all kinds of pains in order that we should not have pain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told us, be grateful for that. Be grateful for what your mother did for you. Be grateful for what your father did for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability to learn lessons from life and to apply them in unrelated situations. This is a unique ability that Allah has given to human beings, that we learn a lesson from one place, but we are able to learn the lesson. We have an experience in one place, in one aspect of our life, but the lesson from that experience is not restricted to that situation in life or to similar situations, but that experience can be translated into completely unrelated areas. This is a unique ability of the human being, which is the soul and which is the secret behind human learning, very different from animal learning. Animals also can be trained, animals also can learn, and so on and so forth. But an animal learns a lesson in one area, it cannot translate that into a completely different area and apply that lesson. But human beings can do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave human beings the ability to express themselves, to express their thoughts and express their feelings in a way where these can be effectively communicated and transferred into the hearts and minds of others. This is what we know as language. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us languages. And imagine, just think about that. What is a language? A language is a set of sounds that represents certain tangible or intangible things. Love means the same thing in English that ishq means in Urdu, that hub means in Arabic, that anbu means in Tamil, and so on and so forth. So you have the same feeling, but this feeling is represented by a different set of sounds, and those sets of sounds are called language. So if you are learning a new language, effectively what you are learning is a new set of sounds for the same things. So this is the but the benefit of that is that you can convey your thoughts and your feelings to other people. And you can do that, if you learn to do that well, you can do that so powerfully that it changes their lives, it enters their hearts, it ignites their imaginations, it motivates them. Or conversely, it depresses them, it destroys their confidence, it makes them, instead of helping them in their life, it becomes an impediment for them. So both are possible. And then on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability of writing, of translating these sounds into symbols that represents those sounds, that represent those sounds. And thereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability to capture our experience and leave it behind for posterity. So things that have been written, imagine Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, with all his knowledge but without writing, there would be no Ihya ul-Ulum. Imagine you go down through life, look at the great books that have been written by all the great authors of the world, from time immemorial. Marcus Aurelius, the great Caesar of Rome, one of the wisest men the world has seen, a great leader, a great Stoic. His quotes and his sayings and what he talked about truth and about experience of life, we know that because of writing. We don't know the words anymore. His words were not recorded in sound; they were recorded in symbols. So, and those symbols are what are called writing. So, right. I'm deliberately not mentioning the Quran because the Quran is not from any human being. The Quran is the Kalam of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. But even the Quran, if you take it, the Quran that was revealed as the spoken word. The Sahaba heard the Quran. They did not read the Quran. They heard the Quran, and it's only many years later, when the Quran was compiled as one book, that you could actually read the Quran as one book. Of course, the Quran was also written down at the time of revelation itself, as also the ahadith of Rasulullah, his teachings were also recorded at the time he spoke them, but they were recorded by the scribes, and the scribes could read them. Many of the people of the time, they were not literate in the sense that they couldn't read. So for them, both the Quran and the teachings on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were the spoken word. But thanks to language and thanks to script, thanks to writing, which is the gift of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, we can, 1400 years later, we can read them, and they were written with integrity, and so we can see them with integrity. Now these are all signs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala Jalla Jalaluhu. And once again, I'm not talking, for example, of the structure of the human body. I'm not talking about the issue of disease and cures. I'm not talking, for example, of the absolute beauty and delicacy of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a form where, for example, an imbalance in electrolytes in the blood of a person can produce momentary dementia, can literally make you insane momentarily until that balance of electrolytes is restored by somebody else. You can't do it yourself because you are no longer able to think and to reason or anything like that. But somebody takes you to a hospital and they they give you the electrolytes intravenously, and inshallah your brain starts working again. But at the same time, if those electrolytes are, when they are given to you by means of an intravenous drip, if the rate at which that drip is set, the speed at which the electrolytes are introduced into your body, if that speed is too high, then it sends you into a paralytic shock, which is irreversible. And that paralytic shock is such that your complete body totally is completely and totally paralyzed. You cannot even blink. But what it does not take away is feeling. So therefore, you could have a mosquito biting you, but you would not be able to drive it away or to tell someone to drive it away. But you will feel that exquisite pain of the mosquito biting you. And you can then imagine, may Allah protect us from this, but you can imagine what happens to those who in that situation get bed sores or who get much more painful conditions. You might have a headache, you might have a absolutely roaring migraine, but you know nothing about it. You can do nothing about it. And the beauty of, if I can use the word beauty, of pain is that others can't see it. If you have a migraine, people don't know you have a migraine. So you are lying in your bed, completely and totally paralyzed. Maybe you have a cramp in one leg, you need to turn around, but you can't tell somebody, please turn me around. So even the nursing of such people is a very major challenge for nurses to, first of all, be extremely aware and extremely responsive. But despite all that, there are some things that they cannot possibly be aware of, because what's happening inside your head or what's happening to a particular muscle in your body is not visible to anybody. And why did all this happen? Not disease, not any ailment, because the rate of at which the electrolytes were introduced into your body through the drip was a bit faster than what it should have been. So we ask Allah to save us from this and to prevent us from being the victims of such things. But I'm saying that this shows us the delicacy of our creation and how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, so delicately and everything so enormously, so beautifully balanced, that even a little thing goes wrong and the whole thing falls apart. But that is the beauty of the creation, the complexity of it. And therefore we see the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we recognize His glory and majesty, and we glorify Him and we worship only Him. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And in this whole the ni'mah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came with this message, who came to open our eyes, who came to introduce us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who came to teach us that we are not in this world alone, that we have our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu to take care of us, to help us and support us in every way, which He does all the time. And we need therefore to be thankful to Him for that, not because He needs our thanks, but because we need to show our decency and our subservience to Him and our thankfulness to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among His thankful slaves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those that He is pleased with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we are protected from every evil, from every humiliation, from every negative thing in this dunya wal akhirah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us in a state where He is pleased with us and takes us in a state when He is pleased with us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.